Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into the Punt and Pass podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, and usually I am joined by my co-host, future college football Hall of Famer, Aaron Murray. But I've brought in my ace. I've brought in my replacement. Many of you know Aaron is in Hawaii this week. He is covering the Hawaii BYU game on CBS Sports Network this weekend. So I think he's on the beach right now enjoying his time with his girlfriend, Sharon. So I called my buddy, my guy, Clint Bowling. Clint is a former offensive lineman for the University of Georgia, and he is in his seventh season currently with the Cincinnati Bengals as their starting left guard. Clint, I don't know about you, but I don't know any other podcast in the world that could swap out a future college football Hall of Fame co-host with a seven-year NFL vet. What say you, my man? How's everything going?
What's going on, bud? It just speaks to the versatility of the Punt and Pass podcast. It can do it all.
We can do it all. I think I'm switching the name this week from Punt and Pass to Punt and Blast because you blast people off the line of scrimmage sometimes. You certainly did that last week with a huge road victory over the Denver Broncos. Congrats to you. And the Cincinnati Bengals, a.k.a. the Cincinnati Bulldogs, because there's so many Georgia players up there, a.k.a. the Bungles. I'll tell you what. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, we got four Georgia guys on the team right now, and to be honest, that's a little bit light. We got Geno Atkins, Sean Williams, and A.J. Green, and in the past, we've had up to around 7, 8, 9 guys on the team from Georgia.
It's crazy. That's got to make it fun, and I appreciate you spending time. I know your family's getting in town for Thanksgiving. We're going to talk a little Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone tuned in. We'll get to that. I want to let everybody know that figuratively in college, we nicknamed you Big Daddy Bowling, but now literally we get to call you Big Daddy Bowling. You have a one-month-old baby girl, Emma. Tell us how that is being a father, especially during the football season, and congrats to you and your beautiful wife, Kelly, on the birth of your beautiful daughter, Emma.
It's been fun. You know, during the season was not an ideal time. It's been pretty crazy. You know, we missed one day of practice on a Thursday on October 19th when she was born, and then left on Saturday to go to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. So, it's been fun though. She sleeps really well. She does a good job. My wife Kelly has been awesome. She does a good job taking care of her while I'm gone so much during the season, but, it's definitely been an enjoyable experience.
Absolutely. It's gotta be awesome. And again, Emma is absolutely gorgeous. So congrats to you for outkicking your coverage, marrying someone that's a lot better looking than you are and making a pretty tiny human. So congrats, man. That's got to be awesome. Speak to me about what it's like, though, in the NFL, especially during this time of year, because Thanksgiving's tough. You know, you got to juggle family. You guys have a big game this weekend. Now you have a newborn. I think a lot of people would be interested to know what it's like during Thanksgiving week with a one-month-old child juggling the responsibilities of being a starting left guard in the NFL.
It's a lot going on, but you know, the in-laws just came in today. We're going to have a nice little Thanksgiving on Thursday. My father-in-law is doing the turkey. And then this weekend, Emma's actually going to be able to go to the game. It'll be her first time seeing dad play some football. So we got a big matchup against the Browns. Hasn't been a great year. We're 4-6 right now, but, you know, if you look at the standings, we're one game out of the wild card and, you know, with a chance to win a couple games here coming up, we'll be right there in it.
Yeah, the AFC is certainly a lot more open than the NFC is up to this point. The NFC is extremely top-heavy with some very, very good teams leading the way, but you just said it, one game out of the wild card, and this is the time of season where you really want to start playing your best ball. If you can string together and stack some wins late November, early December, you're going to put yourself in really good position. And I think the week after that, you guys have Pittsburgh. So a couple division games, get some victories under your belt and see what you can do late in December, right?
Yeah. I mean, you always want to be playing well towards the end of the year. Same with college football. You know, you want to kind of be peaking as the season goes along. But like you said, we're right there in it. Hopefully we can make a little run here with the next six games coming up.
Yeah, that would be sweet. All right, let's pivot to Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday of the year, and I thought of this really funny story. This is back in college. Clint and I were roommates for 4 years in college. Twitter had just came out. I know you remember this, and like nobody really knew what to do with Twitter at this point. I think I tweeted something out like, hey, what's everybody's favorite Thanksgiving dish? And I got roasted for like 3.5 straight weeks by all of my roommates for being a complete loser on Twitter. So I'll ask you a more apt question now that we're 28 years old and that you're a parent. What kind of wine will you be drinking at Thanksgiving, or will you go straight to the brown water and dip into some bourbon?
You know, I'll probably start off with a couple beers in the afternoon watching some football.
Okay.
I'm still going to have to go to work on Thursday. We still have practice. Everything that day is just kind of condensed a little bit. There's not as much break during the day. So we'll probably be done around noon, 1 o'clock, and get home in time to watch some football, have a couple cold beers, and probably have a glass of bourbon after dinner, sitting on the couch watching some NFL games.
Sweet. Now, are your parents coming in town too, Jay and Deb?
Jay and Deb actually host Thanksgiving in Atlanta.
Oh, I gotcha.
Back home. So they're gonna have my side of the family all over at my parents' house, and then they're actually heading out of town on Friday to go to a wedding in Arizona this weekend.
Oh man, they're all over the place. All right, cool. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving to the Bowlings. Happy Thanksgiving to the Lewises. And you know what? I'll shout out and say Happy Thanksgiving to the Murray family as well. They're all over the place, but a big part of the Punt and Pass podcast. So Happy Thanksgiving, everybody listening. As for me myself, I'm sure I'll probably splurge on a nice bottle of Cabernet. Clint, I'm gonna enjoy Thanksgiving, and then I'll probably dip into the bourbon as well late night for a nightcap.
Yeah, what do you guys got going on? Where are you guys?
So we're back in town, dude. We're in Atlanta for the first time in 4 years, and I think we're gonna split it up. My parents do Thanksgiving at their house with the Butler family. Jackie's family has their own traditions as well, so we're going to do it all. I want to soak it all up, take advantage of everything, and then late night, the best part is Jackie. We all do dessert at Jackie's house, which is when the good bottles of wine get brought out. We might light a fire up if the weather permits, and that'll be great. So I'm fired up, dude. I'm glad to be back home, and it's probably – I can't wait till you're back home too, man. We'll do some big-time Thanksgivings with the baby girls. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. Fired up for old Emma and your future daughter set up some play dates.
That's right. All right, let's get in to the football. A lot to talk about. It's rivalry week. It's week 13, a week before the conference championship games start up. And we have an awesome slate of games. There's a ton of good football on this weekend. For everybody that listens, you guys can get in on the action at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at DrewButler13. Aaron is at AaronMurray11. And Clint is a big-time tweeter. He is at CBowling60. And on Instagram, I think somebody made a fake Instagram account for Clint. And the best part about their fake Instagram account is they blocked Clint's wife from being able to interact with them. But I think that – did it get – axed from Twitter? I mean, Instagram?
To be honest, I haven't even seen it. The best part about it is there's some old school Clint Bowling high school football pictures on there. And there's some pretty funny pictures, but I don't know who runs it. My wife tried to get it shut down at some point, and they shut her down.
That is a savvy move by whoever jumped on the Seabowling 60 Instagram handle. But Clint is on Twitter, at Seabowling 60, so holler at him. Let him know what you thought about his first showing on the Punt and Pass podcast this week called Punt and Blast. I like that. All right, so the games we're going to cover today, Clint. Number 7, Georgia travels to Atlanta to take on Tech at the Flats. The Iron Bowl is absolutely massive this year. Number 1, Alabama at number 6, Auburn. I like this game. This game is sneaky right here. Number 2, Clemson at South Carolina. That's Saturday night. We're going to have to touch on number 3, Miami going to Pittsburgh. And we'll wrap it up since you're an Ohio guy. Number 9, Ohio State at number 24, Michigan in the big game. And then maybe if we have time, number 8, Notre Dame at number 22, Stanford. First thing I want to ask you, though, it's been blowing up all over the place. My boy Baker Mayfield got into a little bit of trouble last week, comes out on Monday with a solid press conference and gives everybody crocodile tears of the century. The fakest tears I think I've ever seen. Like, he looked like he went to acting school on that one. I'm so sorry. I'm so mad I'm not a captain, especially on senior day. Couple tears out of each eyeball. I mean, give me a break, right, Clint? This is a total joke. I know he got in trouble for it. It's probably best that they did strip his captaincy, but to not start him, it won't make a difference against West Virginia. This thing has gotten blown way out of proportion.
Yeah, I mean, he took a 180 pretty quick from the old nut grab to the crying at the press conference. So it was an interesting couple of days. I mean, the guy just he reminds you a little bit of Johnny Football, just yeah, out there making plays and has some antics on the sidelines. And it's just going to be a question of, you know, all you got to do is get one NFL team to like you, and that's all that matters. And you know, as long as you keep making plays, somebody's going to take a flyer on you. So.
No question. And he is getting that comparison to Johnny Manziel, for better or worse. And you would be able to speak on it as well as anyone. Do you think NFL GMs are going to have this play into their prediction of where he'll go in the draft? I mean, I think when he goes to the combine, when he has these personal meetings, they're going to sit him down and be like, dude, you just need to relax a little bit. Like, if you're going to be the starting quarterback in the NFL, just tone it down a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think they definitely talk, you know, in the meetings and in the pre-draft process. But it's you know, it's interesting. Just, you know, I think as long as, like I said, one team likes him, one team buys into, you know, his confidence and, you know, whatever he puts out on the field, that's all that really matters. And you know, somebody ends up taking a flyer on him, and you know, the GM's probably going to write their ticket with him. Kind of like those guys in Cleveland did with Johnny Football. And,
yeah,
you know, after a couple of years, it doesn't go well, they're going to bring in some new people.
It's crazy. I mean, they are absolutely crucifying him. I got ESPN on in my house right now, and like, that's all they're talking about for the first 10 minutes is Baker Mayfield. He is a stud, though. He probably already has the Heisman wrapped up.
Over under, when does he come back into the game? After the first possession?
I think so, right? It doesn't make any sense to keep him out any longer. They got big things to play for.
Yeah, there's no way it lasts longer than a series.
Speaking of just absolute lunacy on the television, did you watch LeVar Ball on CNN last night? Because that was the most insane thing I have. In 20 minutes, my head was spinning. I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, I mean, the guy just, how do you not prepare yourself a little bit better if you're Chris Cromo?
Chris, Google Cromo, Chris Mo.
For what's about to happen, because that I didn't see the whole thing. I saw mainly clips of it, but man, that was a roller coaster of a ride.
Do you have any big baller brand apparel, shoes, shirts, hats? What do you got?
I personally don't, but I've seen it in the locker room.
Oh, so big baller brand making moves in the NFL.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll try to get LeVar on the podcast, give him a means to reach out to everybody out here in the Southeast tuning in.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely could draw some numbers.
Okay, finally, let's dip into the football. We start here with Georgia for good reason. And Clint, number 7, Georgia travels to Georgia Tech. This game was chosen to be on at 12 p.m. on ABC. Georgia is an 11-point favorite. I'm just going to ask you a quick question off the bat. Does Tech have any chance to win this game?
I don't think so. I think Georgia's, they've been playing great all year. I think you continue to see that, you know, Tech's been struggling. They like, you know, they give up a ton of rushing yards, just got beat at Duke the other weekend. So obviously you never know with a rivalry game, but at the same time, Georgia's obviously just got superior talent on the field.
Yeah, it's not even close this season. I mean, the scared factor for me goes back to 2009. Tech was a top five team in the nation. We were just fighting for bowl eligibility, and we beat them. And it was an awesome game. Neither team punted, but it was a huge win. And then we went on to the Independence Bowl, which was an absolute blast. But that would be absolutely devastating, not only to me personally, but I think to every single Georgia fan. I can be pretty objective when it comes to Georgia football. A couple weeks ago, didn't really feel good about the Auburn matchup. This week, if Georgia loses, Clint, I will be a recluse. I will shut down. I will be so upset. Both of my brothers-in-law went to Georgia Tech. It will be nothing short of awful. It straight up can't happen. Tech needs to win to become bowl eligible. They've beaten Georgia two out of the last three seasons, but Georgia's got to win to keep their college football playoff hopes alive. You mentioned it. Tech allowed 319 rushing yards just a week ago to Duke. How do you think Jake Fromm plays in his first Tech game?
The guy's been in some big situations all year. You know, he goes up, wins a football game at Notre Dame. What was it, first or second start on the year?
Second game.
So, you know, he's been in those situations this year, and he's been able to pull out some wins. And basically, you know, with their running game, they kind of remove a lot of the needs for him to make plays out of the game. So I think as long as they can go up there and continue running the ball, and, you know, as Georgia Tech did last week, you know, there's not a, you know, giving up 300 yards to Duke. You can kind of see that trend continuing with Georgia getting after them with Chubb and Sony Michel.
How much fun would it be to be a lineman with the stable of running backs that they have, that you just open up a small hole and that thing has got a chance to go to the house?
Yeah, that's, you know, when I first got to Georgia, our first couple of years, we kind of had that same, you know, between Noshon and Thomas Davis, we had a pretty good stable
Thomas
there.
Thomas Brown.
Davis. Thomas Davis plays linebacker for the Panthers. But yeah, we had some great backs then. And, you know, with as many guys as Georgia has right now running the ball, it's pretty impressive.
I heard a statistic today. Chubb obviously had a huge weekend last week against Kentucky, had his third season rushing for over 1,000 yards. Only other player to do that, I think, was Herschel Walker. I don't think Gurley got that done. But in that fourth season, he had over 700 yards before getting his knee shattered against Tennessee. So if he would have stayed healthy, he would have been knocking on Herschel's record for total rush yards at Georgia, which is absolutely unbelievable to think about. And Clint, I know you've had to deal with a knee injury. It's really unbelievable how he came back, not only to really be able to walk and be athletic, but run as efficiently as he has and set himself up for what should be a pretty prominent NFL career.
Yeah, you know, I had the same. I had an ACL a couple of years ago. I don't know what other ligaments that he had done, but I'll tell you what, man, medical technology right now, it's unbelievable how good these doctors are at repairing those kind of things. I know when I went through mine, I think I had surgery December 31st, and I was back ready for training camp at the end of July that next year. So it's really unbelievable how good these doctors are. And, you know, not to make light of how easy saying it's easy to come back, but it's obviously a ton of work on top of that through the rehab process. And, you know, I would imagine that Nick Chubb did was good with that, as hard as he works, and came back that next year, and it's been pretty impressive.
Yeah, it has been pretty impressive. I think Georgia will start the game out, hand it off, get a lot of short yardage situations on second and third down, move the chains, and then really just continue to take advantage of how well those receivers have been playing. Terry Godwin, Javon Wims, Mecole Hardman's a freak, not only on offense, but he can make a difference in special teams as well. I think Georgia rolls. I don't think Tech has a chance in hell, and that's not me just saying that as a fan, because this week I am a fan. They're not a good football team. I'd love Coach Roof, Georgia Tech's defensive coordinator, the first college coach to offer me a scholarship at Duke. I still play golf with him in the offseason. It's a little name drop for you, Clint. But Tech's got no shot. Their offense has not been as consistent as they have been. If Georgia can keep them out of those third and short situations, it could get ugly early at Bobby Dodd Stadium.
Yeah, I think the only way that you know, Georgia Tech has a chance. You know, I think there were some penalties early on in the Auburn game that ended up hurting the Dogs that weren't able to get off the field. You know, some personal fouls in that nature, some turnovers. So that's the only way I see it being close. But at the same time, you know, like we've said, Georgia just has superior talent. And I would look for them to win big as well.
All right. So the line is Georgia minus 11. They're covering. There's no doubt. This could be blood bank guarantee of the week. I say Georgia covers. What about you?
I would agree as well.
Okay. And I just got a text message. Aaron Murray checking in from Hawaii. He says Georgia covers also. So that's three straight picks in a row. The Dogs are covering that 11 points in Atlanta. Next game, Clint, huge game. It's the Iron Bowl. Number one Alabama is heading over to Auburn. Auburn is the sixth-ranked team in the nation right now. This game's on at 3:30 p.m. CBS, Brad Nessler, Gary Danielson, Allie LaForce. Bama is a 4.5-point favorite on the road. And, Clint, get this. The Iron Bowl winner has played in the national championship game 7 out of the last 8 seasons. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be a good matchup. It's it'll be fun to watch on TV. But that's an impressive number. 7 out of the late 8 seasons playing in the national championship between those two teams is quite the run.
So okay, so Auburn dismantled Georgia just 2 weeks ago, 40-17. Georgia was the number one team in the nation. Auburn right now is one of the hottest teams in the nation. They do have 2 losses. Can they beat the number one team in the nation 2 times in 3 weeks? That's a big ask.
You know, they get to play both of those games at home.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big factor, you know, to go on the road and win twice like that is another thing. But, you know, they played, you know, basically had a bye weekend last week to get ready for this game against whoever they played. And then to have, to be at home again against Alabama, I think that's going to be a big matchup and a big positive factor for Auburn.
As an offensive lineman, okay, on the road, especially in a hostile environment like Jordan-Hare Stadium, in a huge rivalry game, because Georgia-Auburn is a gigantic rivalry game, not as big as the Iron Bowl for obvious reasons. How tough is it dealing with that crowd noise? We hear about it from Aaron, who's the one giving out the calls, but a lot of the times the offensive linemen are the one who have to communicate with each other and then get it to the quarterback to let him know what the hell's going on. It's a real thing that you have to deal with and prepare for throughout the week.
Yeah, you know, they, you know, what we do here, especially on the road during practice, when we go on the road during practice through the week, we'll have crowd noise for the offense to deal with and to try and prepare ourselves for that. But it's definitely challenging, and especially in those situations where, you know, you're back a third down, you know, times where you need to have the most, the best communication. That's when it gets the loudest. It's a tough environment. And especially, you know, when coming off of a turnover, you know, they get a little bit of momentum going, that crowd really plays into it. And it's hard. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, you go to a place like that and to try and win, it'll be a big challenge.
For sure. Bama's front 7, I would have to say, and it's really hard to say right now if Georgia has a halfway decent game, but I would think they're going to be a bit more dominant than Georgia was able to be against Auburn just a couple weeks ago. Earlier this year when the season started, the strength of Alabama's team was their linebacker depth. They had like 10 deep at linebacker. Nick Saban was talking about it before the season started. This is what our defense relies on. This is where we start and finish. I think 5 of those guys are out. Is Bama ready with the amount of injuries they're dealing with to take on Auburn, especially if Auburn plays like they did against Georgia, which I don't think will happen? Lightning may not strike twice in 3 weeks.
Yeah, you know, it's impressive how Alabama just, you know, they reload. They have a guy like Reuben Foster, first-round pick to the 49ers. And, you know, you watch them early on in the year against Florida State, I remember, and it was just like they just bring in the new wave of players.
It's crazy.
And it's unbelievable how well they recruit and how deep they are. And obviously it's going to be tested this weekend. But, you know, I'm sure they have some young, highly recruited guys that are going to be in a tough spot, but definitely will be talented guys that will still be out there. Maybe just not have the experience.
Yeah, they're going to need to get comfortable quick because – you know, when Auburn played Georgia and they went east-west in that read option. Georgia was able to stop him, but when Kerryon Johnson was like falling forward for 6-8 yards a clip, that's where the game got out of hand. That delayed read option, or even when Kerryon Johnson was back there in the wildcat and he would keep it, it was crazy. You got to give a lot of credit to the offensive lineman for making that happen. Do you see Kerryon Johnson having that effect on the game as he did against Georgia with Alabama and their front seven?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can run the ball, I mean, it's a game changer. Especially, it's pretty demoralizing when you hit the guy, you make contact, yeah. And then they get another 4 or 5 yards, falling forward. So, I think Alabama is going to be able to handle them up front a little bit better than Georgia did. But like we said, if they're able to do those things, and Auburn's able to pull out a win, I think.
Who do you think has to have the better game for Auburn if they are to win? Kerryon Johnson or Jarrett Stidham, their quarterback?
I would imagine the quarterback. You know, obviously, I think the ball is going to be in Johnson's hands a little bit. But, you know, that if that quarterback's able to convert a couple third and eights, third and sixes to keep them on the field and not turn the ball over, you know, I think that's going to be a bigger factor.
No question. I mean, when he gets outside the pocket, he has the ability to push the ball downfield still. But when he gets to sit in the pocket and deliver the ball with accuracy, he can do it with the best of them in the nation. There's no doubt about that. Okay, on the flip side, who has to be the biggest game changer for Alabama if they're going to win? I'm going to give you three offensive names: Jalen Hurts, Damian Harris, the running back, or Calvin Ridley, the receiver.
I'm going to go same thing with the quarterback. Okay. I think it's going to be a similar situation to the Auburn quarterback. You know, he's a little bit more mobile. He makes some more plays, scrambling, getting out of the pocket. And it's going to be the same situation. Is he able to turn a third and six scramble on the ball for a 20, 25 yard gain to kind of get them in a position to score? And I think that's what it's going to come down to.
It's pretty wild how he is still so young, just a true sophomore, and has so much poise in big, big time situations. He did it a couple weeks ago against Mississippi State. He just continues to do it every single week. Nothing phases this guy. This week could be different, though. Auburn is very good. And before Auburn played Georgia and beat them by 23, I was seeing some future lines on this game, Clint, where Alabama was a 10-point favorite. Auburn whoops up on Georgia. That line moved to 3. It's back up to 4.5. So it's, you know, Vegas is saying that Bama is 7 points better than Auburn right now with the home 3 points factored in. What's going to happen, dude? And I want you to tell me, if Alabama's going to cover, if Auburn's going to win, and who does Georgia want to play more in the SEC championship game?
I think Georgia would probably rather play Auburn again. I think to play them twice within the span of a month, whatever it was, a couple weeks. I think to beat a team twice in that short span of a time, I think that's hard. And especially coming off like a big emotional win against Alabama, you know, I think that's a team. I think Georgia would prefer to play a team like Auburn that they've already seen and can try to correct some of those mistakes earlier in the year. As far as the pick, I like Auburn, I think, at home.
Really? To win, yeah. Or to cover?
I like them covering, and I wouldn't be shocked if they won. Okay. I really, you know, I think they've been playing well. They got some momentum. You know, we'll see what happens.
All right, so Big Daddy Bowling takes the points. He wants the home dog, which he's prone to do. I talked to Clint throughout the college football season, most often on Friday nights and Saturday mornings, again, for obvious reasons. What I think will happen, and Clint, before I give you my pick, I think Georgia would much rather play Auburn as well. You can speak to this as an NFL player. When you get to play a division opponent, you know, 2 times in 4 weeks or sometimes 2 times in 3 weeks, it plays into the advantage probably of the team if they're evenly balanced, which I think Georgia and Auburn are. The team that wins the first time is probably at a disadvantage the next time they play for, you know, many reasons other than the fact that they get a chance at revenge. Auburn is not 23 points better than Georgia. I mean, let's be honest. It was 20-7 at half. Georgia stops him on third down coming out for the second half, fumbles a punt. The route was on. Auburn is not 23 points better than Georgia. The best case scenario for Georgia is this: a knockdown, drag out fight in the Iron Bowl, and Auburn makes like a 48-yard game-winning field goal. Emotions run high. Georgia would beat Auburn by 14-plus in the SEC championship game. That's a fact, okay? That's not a hot take. That's an absolute fact. Now, what I think will happen, all right? I think Alabama's going to win. I don't have it in me to say that Jalen Hurts is going to do enough to mess the game up for Auburn. I mean, for Alabama, excuse me. I don't think Auburn's able to put together two massive performances in 3 weeks and beat the number one ranked team in the nation, Alabama being the second one, twice in 3 weeks. So, you know what? I'll take the points as well. But I think Alabama wins a classic Iron Bowl. This is going to be a great game. Everybody will be able to tune in after Georgia beats Tech by like 40 points, hopefully. But this game is going to be the game of the day, maybe the game of the year. And one more question, Clint. You took Auburn to win, right? Are you going to go with that? I don't need a wishy-washy answer. I need, will Auburn win? You took the points. Who's going to win the game?
I'll go with Auburn. Okay. Still, I like Auburn to win and to with the points.
Okay, so Clint,
money line and four and a half.
All right, I take Alabama to win, but give me the points with Auburn. And I just got another text message. Aaron Murray checking in again from the beaches of Oahu. He thinks Auburn wins outright, so give him the points. He's on board with Clint. Money line and points. All right, Clint, one more before we get on to our next game. Is the Iron Bowl winner going to be in the national championship game again?
So you think if Auburn wins,
they can maintain enough momentum to win two more games or one more game?
I don't know. Does Auburn as a three, let's say Georgia beats them in the SEC championship. I don't know if a three-loss Auburn team gets in.
Okay.
I think Alabama could potentially lose to Auburn and still get in.
I know, dude. I think so, too. There is so much that's going to happen with the college football playoff poll and the committee after conference championship week. It's going to be an absolute mess. And the beauty of it is if Georgia takes care of business, they'll be in. They'll be in, and they won't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I think if you ask them before the season, they could be, 10-1 or 11-1 going into the SEC championship with a chance for the playoff. I think everybody says yes.
No question. Yeah. All right, so huge Iron Bowl coming up. I take Alabama, but I want the points with Auburn. Clint and Aaron both take Auburn to win outright. All right, this next game, Clint, I think it's a great one. And this, I've been on this bandwagon since week one of the season. Number two, Clemson travels to South Carolina. Clemson is a 2-touchdown favorite. Clemson minus 14, 7:30 p.m., on ESPN, inside Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia, South Carolina. This is a huge rivalry game, and I think Will Muschamp has an opportunity right here to hang his hat on a landmark victory in his second season as South Carolina's head coach. Clemson's performed big time in big games the past three seasons. Do you think they can deliver again, or will they get caught looking towards Miami and the ACC championship game?
To be honest, I don't know if South Carolina can score with Clemson.
Yeah.
I don't know if their offense is dynamic enough to put up that many points.
Well, I can give you the answer. They're not. They're not dynamic enough.
And I just don't see them making enough stops on defense. You know, like I said earlier, I love the home dog, but I don't know about this situation. I just don't know if they can keep up with Clemson in this game.
I think you're spot on. And I've had a bit more of a hotter take on Clemson. I think Clemson might be the best team in the nation if they're healthy. If Kelly Bryant is healthy, their defense is for real. They can score points at a very, very high clip. I mean, this is a team, I wouldn't say on Oklahoma's level, but when they're out there, they're eligible to take it for seven at any position on the field. I like Clemson a lot. I think they cover the 14 points. They have to make a statement. I know they're number two. I would expect them to stay at number two in the college football playoff poll this week. I think they make a huge statement on the road against an SEC opponent, even though South Carolina has proven to be a hard-nosed and disciplined team like Georgia saw 3 weeks ago between the hedges against South Carolina, only scoring 24 points. But Clemson's got a prolific offense, and their defense is for real. So I'm going to lay the 14 points here, and I'll just tell you right now, I love the Clemson-Miami matchup for Clemson. I'm sorry, Coach Richt, but Clemson's for real, dude. I'm sorry they lost on a Friday night in Syracuse. Throw that out the window. They're undefeated, and people were saying they're a legitimate contender to Alabama again.
Yeah, you know, they're talented. They're a talented group. Like we were saying earlier, I just don't think South Carolina can keep up with them. The next weekend's matchup, I think they're probably looking ahead to it, and it's not going to matter in this game this weekend. I think Clemson's going to end up rolling, and they're looking forward to a big Miami matchup. You know, staring down Coach Richt in the turnover chain.
Oh, turnover chain. Does the Clemson-South Carolina game have a name? I have no idea. You're probably not the first guy to ask either.
No, I'm not aware if there is.
Okay, that could be our social media challenge of the week. What is the name of the Clemson-South Carolina rivalry game? I remember a couple years ago, or more than a couple years ago, where they had that knockdown, drag-out fight on the field. That is awesome. And Clint, if I know you like I think I do, you'd be the first one in there, dude. Keep the helmet on and just throw bows. Am I right?
you got to keep the helmet on. That's a day one something that you got to learn. Anytime there's a fight that breaks out, don't rip your helmet off and start trying to look tough.
You should have told your boy AJ Green that a few weeks ago on the field when he duked it out with Jalen Ramsey. Interesting move, but he body slammed the hell out of that dude. That was pretty sweet. So props to AJ.
Yeah, you don't ever see that out of that guy too often. You know, he's a little bit quieter and reserved, and something set him off, and that was the end of it.
Okay, but now that you're a dad, do you not walk towards the sideline and like go get a Gatorade or a cup of water and just, you know, keep the face looking right, keep the hands okay?
To be honest, early in my career, there was a couple of training camp scuffles, a couple of training camp fights. Definitely got into a couple at Georgia. And as I've gotten older, I've just kind of strayed away from that. It just doesn't really happen. The coaches are very adamant that no fighting. Naturally, it happens, of course, during training camp, blocking the same guys every single day, and tempers start to flare. But I've kind of gotten away from that as I've gotten older.
I've got a good training camp story that I think you'll remember. This is, I think, in the preseason of 2008. Georgia was ranked number one preseason. You just said it. Guys go, you know, ones against ones the entire summer. It's hot as hell outside. Everybody hates each other at this point in the season. And a certain Stacy Searles, who is now the offensive line coach and run game coordinator at Miami with Coach Richt, was chatting it up with a certain Jeremy Lomax. And Lomax was a defensive end, and it was ones-on-ones during 11-on-11. And they had a few choice words for each other. And I think Searles had challenged him to get to the quarterback. And Lomax took it extremely literal. Matthew Stafford drops back to pass, and Lomax blindsided him and absolutely dropped him. I mean, full-on brawl started that day. I think you remember that one.
Yeah, that would be a hard one to forget. I think he blindsides Matthew.
During practice.
Can't hit the quarterback. and Searles did not like that. Coach Searles, excuse me. He did not like that. And I think he, of course, was the first one in Jeremy Lomax's face, and it just escalated from there.
That's classic. I'm sure being 7 years in the NFL, you've got a lot of those stories, but that one stands out on its own. Speaking of Coach Searles, speaking of Coach Richt, Miami plays on Friday. That's right, Friday at 12 noon on ABC. Miami, the third-ranked team in the nation, travels to Pittsburgh. And, Clint, you've played in Heinz Field. I've played at Heinz Field as well. It's supposed to be 50 degrees at kickoff. If you know Pittsburgh, it could jump to 80 in the second quarter, then start snowing in the third quarter, and then be like a nice spring day in the fourth quarter. I'm worried, Clint. I'm worried for Coach Richt because this is going to be a tough environment. It's not going to be crowded. It's the day after Thanksgiving. I know I'll be, like, working off just so many calories from the day before on Thanksgiving. Can Miami be caught looking ahead towards Clemson in the ACC championship, or did Miami get a wake-up call that they needed a last week ago against Virginia?
They definitely came out a little slow, and I've been messing with a teammate of mine that used to play for the Hurricanes, Eric Winston, and I keep telling him, I go, just wait for it. Just wait for that one game a year where they're going to let you down, where you lose a game that you should win.
Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately for Coach Richt, that reputation precedes him just based on facts. I mean, what's happened? And I don't know if you can blame Coach Richt or just blame the players for not showing up every single week?
Yeah, you know, we were the best 9-3 team in the country. We always make that joke. But, you know, it's just one of those things. I think, you know, you got those Miami guys down there that are used to that 75 and sunny. They get up to Pittsburgh and that weather drops a little bit, you know, on the road, looking ahead to the Clemson matchup. I don't know if Pittsburgh wins, but I definitely like the points plus 14 in this game.
Oh, so you're going to take the points. I'll take the points. Give me the home dog here. I want the 14 points. I think it's going to be a slow start. I think Pittsburgh's got a lot to play for just to kind of save their season and say, hey, we beat a top five team. And Clint, my whole thing about Miami is this. They've been so heavily reliant on turnovers. I mean, look at just a week ago. They get a few picks. They get a pick six late. They end up covering the spread. But if they weren't able to get those turnovers in the second half, Virginia was going to beat them. I mean, can you – you've played football for a long time. Are turnovers something that you absolutely rely on, or do you work towards it throughout the week and just say, hey, we need to be positive in that category?
It's one of those things. You always talk about turnovers and third downs.
Yeah.
Staying on the field on offense, getting off the field on defense, and turnovers. If it doesn't happen, if you don't get any on defense and you don't turn it over on offense, I think that's all you can ask for.
For sure.
Just taking care of the football. You know, Miami's obviously thrived in that this year, but, you know, like we said, I think going up to Pittsburgh, I think it's going to be a battle late, and I'm not sure if they win, but I think it's going to come down to the fourth quarter for Pittsburgh.
All right, cool. So you like the home dog, given the 14 points. I don't think I got your pick on that Clemson South Carolina game. What did you want? Did you want the home dog, or are you taking Clemson to blow them out?
I'll take Clemson.
Yeah, I took Clemson also. So I'll lay the 14 points. Clint lays the 14 points also. And dude, I'm getting another text message right now. Aaron Murray loves punt and pass. He thinks South Carolina covers. He's been doing pretty good against the spread this season for a novice gambler. So props to him. He wants the points. He wants the home dog. I guess he's been learning from Clint Big Daddy Bowling. But Clint and I, back to the Miami game, we both want Pittsburgh. Aaron is not interested in that game. All right, Clint, you're an Ohio guy. The big game, number 9 Ohio State at number 24 Michigan. This game is at 12 p.m. on Fox this Saturday. Ohio State is a double-digit favorite. They're giving 12 points. Do you follow Ohio State a lot? I hate Ohio State, but I think Ohio State could be Georgia's bowl matchup if they don't win the SEC championship.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I'm not a huge Ohio State fan. Everybody here loves them. Everybody here in Cincinnati loves Ohio State football and loves Kentucky basketball.
Oh, my. I mean, does it get worse than that?
Because they are right in the middle of both of them, and they love them. They love both of them.
I mean, tell me two more. You know, I don't know these guys, so I can't give you like a definitive judgment on them. But John Calipari and Urban Meyer may be the two most unlikable coaches in all of America. Am I far off on that?
I could agree with you a little bit about that. And talk about, has anybody lost more steam than John Harbaugh at Michigan?
Oh, dude, Jim Harbaugh. Give me a break, dude. I mean, this guy, I don't know if you follow Clay Travis on Twitter, but he is like on this crusade just to prove out of how big of a mediocre coach Jim Harbaugh is. And let me tell you who is right on his heels if he jumps back into the business. John Gruden. Dude is a 500 coach in the NFL. He won a Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's players. He got ran out of Tampa Bay. If he takes the Tennessee job, I will be thrilled. He's not that good of a coach.
Yeah, you can't tell me. The guy's got a great gig with ESPN, and you're going to tell me he's going to come in and start wanting to recruit high school kids?
Give me a break,
I just don't see it. The guy's doing Corona commercials right now.
And then Hooters.
Working for ESPN and Hooters. And I just don't see him flipping the switch to wanting to go recruit high school kids.
Life is good for John Gruden. There ain't no way that he's moving to Knoxville, Tennessee to hobnob with parents of entitled five-star recruits, dude. There's no chance he's doing that. I think Dan Mullen goes to Tennessee, and I think Gus Malzahn goes to Arkansas. Okay? If Alabama beats Auburn this weekend, write it in stone. Gus Malzahn is going to be your next head coach at Arkansas. The head coaching carousel in the SEC this offseason is going to be mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. Who takes the Florida job, Clint?
You know, I've seen Chip Kelly's name tossed around. I've seen Scott Frost's name.
I think Scott Frost around. Is a good name. Chip Kelly's going to UCLA.
Yeah, I see Chip. You know, he's kind of a West Coast guy. I could see that as well. But it's crazy how many jobs are opening up this year. It really is. But you know, if I had to make a guess for the Florida job, I'd probably go with Scott Frost.
I think so too. That makes the most sense. Okay, back to your boy Jim Harbaugh and Urban Meyer. Ohio State 12-point favorite. This game is at the Big House in Ann Arbor. I just got another text message. Aaron Murray, he thinks Ohio State covers. Ohio State might be the most inconsistent team in college football this year. Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, he has yet to beat Urban Meyer, could save their season. I know I've said save their season like 12 times in this episode, but that's the type of year it is. I don't know. You don't think Michigan wins outright, do you?
No, I think I could see Ohio State. Michigan's been struggling all year. I don't really see that. The Ohio State Iowa loss is mind blowing to me. Did not see that happening.
They got beat by 31 points.
Iowa hung half a hundred on them. I just don't see that happening. Yeah, I just don't see something like that happening again. I see Ohio State winning, covering, and you know, getting out early on them too.
Okay, I'm gonna agree with you as well. Okay, Ohio State covers. They win probably by two touchdowns or more. Aaron Murray agrees. Clint agrees. Clint also likes Pittsburgh as a home dog. He likes Clemson to cover 14. He likes Auburn with the points and outright. And then he thinks Georgia is going to roll on the flats. Clint, this has been fun, man. Thanks so much for taking time. I know your in-laws just got in town there in Fort Thomas, Kentucky. Was this planned? Did you want to come on the Punt and Pass podcast so you could have like an hour by yourself and your boy Drew Butler when your in-laws showed up?
It was not planned. Just worked out this way. You know, I've been waiting for the phone call to get onto the podcast. Dude, all year long, and I feel like I've just been pushed down the list. I'm surprised I was not one of the first phone calls, but you know, it just shows where we stand. So
well, I gotta say, Brad Nessler and David Pollack do go a bit ahead of my guy Clint Bowling. But you know what? When I needed a reliever, when Aaron's soaking up the sun on the beaches of Oahu, I called Clint and I said, Clint, I need your hot takery and most importantly, your gambling picks, because that's what people come here for. And I think this weekend you have a real chance to go 5-0. 5-0. Have you ever done that before?
I've had some good picks, some good weeks. This year, it's been hit or miss, so we'll see how it goes.
All right, dude.
I feel confident in my picks this weekend, though.
He feels
as
confident.
I always feel confident in them before.
Clint is a confident guy. And who do you all play this week? Your home versus the Browns.
Yep. Big matchup. The Battle of Ohio and Cincinnati this weekend after a little Thanksgiving feast on Thursday.
All right, cool, dude. Well, I might just holler at you on Twitter Thursday and ask you what your favorite dish on Thanksgiving is so you can repeat the absolute roasting of me from probably back in 2009 when I thought Twitter was like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it's. I'm sure that's one of your better tweets. You got on the social media train way before anybody else did, and it was fun looking at that, at all your early Twitter moments.
Yeah, I can say you are maybe my best friend, but that did not stop you from absolutely making fun of me at any given opportunity. So, Clint, with that being said, I just want to say thank you one more time. Everybody, you can find Clint on Twitter at CBowling60. Don't look for him on Instagram because it's fake and that guy has blocked his own wife, which is awesome story. Aaron is at AaronMurray11. Keep in mind he is in Hawaii, so bother him while he's on vacation. I'm at DrewButler13. And you've been listening to Punt and Pass. We're at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram, puntandpass@gmail.com. And we love to interact with all of you throughout the week. So once again, Clint, I really appreciate you. Everybody wish Aaron a fun vacation in Hawaii, and most importantly, have a happy Thanksgiving. We've got big things planned for SEC Championship Week, and we will keep everybody up to date on social media. So enjoy your holiday and check back in on Sunday. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. See you.